This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
They're going to stink it up. No, I don't think they're going to stink it up. I think they're going to do exactly what I said. I think they're going to beat Houston one time. I think they're going to more than likely.
If you think they're going to beat Houston one time, then you should be sitting up here saying that you think they're going to make the tournament. Because you said that's what they got to do.
This is good motivation.
And you think they're going to beat Tulane.
We got to see what happens.
And you think they're
going to beat Cincy. I'm more worried about what happens in the conference tournament, right? I think they're going to beat Houston one time. They're going to play them twice. They got to beat them one time. They have to. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
My whole thing is if East Carolina can beat them folks, right? How can you not when you got two shots at him in 3 days?
Yes, I agree. I think Memphis is going to beat him one time. I really do. I don't know what's going to happen in the conference tournament. I don't know who you're going to be matched up with. I would you talked about rescheduling the Wichita State game.
Yes, get it for Friday if you can. But
I told you yesterday I don't want to do that. I don't want to play Wichita State again. I like having just that 20-point victory over them and letting that speak for me.
I heard Giannotto making that point yesterday. You think it speaks, just have the 20-point and, you're so scared of them again that you don't. It's a quad one loss. If it is, you've lost a quad one game. It's not like it hurts you.
But
it's on the road.
That would also, if you're trying.
What if you get it, though? The win is a quad one win that you lack right now.
Yes, that's true.
You have a chance to have two.
But you wouldn't be favored. You wouldn't be favored at their place.
No, but don't we like the matchup? All of a sudden, you scared of Etienne and Alterine Gilbert?
I think they're just as different a team as you are from the last time you played.
What if the matchup – that's fair because I made that point about Memphis, about them being a different – but what if the matchup is like Tulsa for Memphis?
Every time we do a show together,
Isaac Brown and the Wichita State Shockers.
Isaac Brown is basically
Doc
Rivers.
They beat them folks by 20.
Yeah, I mean, that's what scares me is that you've talked Isaac
you not
Brown
want,
up.
Brad, settle. Why would you not want an opportunity that would be a quad one against a team that you beat by 20 earlier this season? The upside's too high.
After listening to guys, I didn't think we need more opportunities. I agree with you.
Now, are they going to get it? No, because I think it's too cramped in.
Yes.
You don't have enough time left.
Yeah.
But if you could have it, why would you not want it?
My thing
this
is,
the case that you're better off being 1-0 is silly.
I actually think we can both be right, John. They can win a game against Houston, and they're the same team, this playing Tulsa crap, where they go out and they lose to Tulane, or they lose to Cincinnati, or South Florida.
Don't let Ron Hunter.
It is
Hunter,
the weird
That
thing.
Would be a derailing.
Ron
Hunter, come. Ron Hunter, get this win on Wednesday.
Dear God,
you talk about it won't happen on Wednesday. But
this whole thing
South Florida game on March 3rd. You know,
I mean, look, there are some landmines you got to duck, man. That's the AAC. It's not about getting good wins. It's just about avoiding bad losses for the most part. Like that's what you have to do. That's what stinks. I mean, that's why Memphis is up against it right now because this league is in such bad shape.
Houston just they curb stomp Cincy.
Yes.
So
I mean, that's not one that scares you like it has in the past.
But no, I mean,
you should handle your business. You've got the warm up against Tulane to get ready for it.
You have made Isaac Brown out to be one of the greatest coaches.
Give
of
him
all time.
The job,
and that's
do the
why
same
I don't
thing
play
every
again.
Time. He deserves the job.
The Wichita State
man
coach.
Said, "Give the Maryland coach the Wichita State job again."
That was just
after
a
you
name.
Do a search.
That was just a name that
that's
everybody's...
been shot down by everybody you've tried to propose it
but
to.
Apparently,
and
Mark
so
Turgeon.
To,
no, that's fine. Mark Turgeon does not have good relationships with the media. That's fine.
I actually think that the Wichita State is such after because this is now a national debate. I've heard this talked about on national shows. If they don't do this and hire our guy who's already in the seat, what's his name?
Isaac Brown. He's my.
If they don't
even
friend.
Know his name,
no, but he's winning. I know he's the winning coach at Wichita State, current coach. And then I listened to Jeff say he's the opposite of Greg Marshall. He's fixed the culture in that regard. I think that the negative press, if they don't hire that cat, is going to be more than we think.
I think we should have John do a national hit with Zubin on KJZ and ask him about Isaac Brown.
Ask about Isaac
he gonna
Brown.
He's going to do the same thing he did. Hell no. Zubin, like, man, they country as hell down there.
Zubin, they shouldn't hire this guy. All he's done is win.
That's a big-time job. Go out and offer somebody $3, $4 million. Be surprised who you can get at Wichita State.
That's right. I mean,
you can get the white coach from Maryland.
I mean, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Oh, retread self.
Yeah. It's amazing that you don't think that the American people should have COVID relief, but you're trying to save a couple dollars for the Cook brothers, man.
What?
You know?
What about COVID? What wrong take was that you just put on me?
I made that part
billionaires
up.
Billionaires like saving money, bro.
You just make stuff up.
But no, Jason is apparently in their accounting.
The Kroger saving? No, he said, that ain't it, fool.
You can get...
I can get a good thing that's first in the American for $1.5 million as opposed to $3 million, which one am I going to take? It's a smarter business move.
But don't you think Isaac deserves $3 million, bro?
No, I
said... For the job he's
done? We said this the first day. That's why you can't mess. He ain't going to get more than $2 million. And he's going to be super happy with whatever you give him.
Wow.
He's earned it.
Wow.
He's absolutely earned over $1 million, John.
Wow.
Put the man at 1.3, 1.4, 1.5, wherever you want to put
him. I think he deserves to be the highest paid coach in college basketball.
The man, they were picked seventh in the league this year. They're first right now.
And,
he's earned it.
And here's the other thing about these coaches' salaries. That these coaches' salaries are ridiculous. I'm going to sound like an ass, but they need to regress. I mean...
They need to be regulated.
No, listen for a second, John. First of all, billionaires and millionaires, they like saving money just like me and you. That's the first part of that. And then the second part is there is nobody in the stands. And even when we come back next year, there's going to be less people in the stands. It's like the money is
well, the boosters
ridiculous.
Are the ones paying it, though. Like they
not always.
Almost at every public university, mm-hmm. that is true. Every public university, it is absolutely true that it is boosters and donors who are paying that. They want to pay it. You know, they are happy to pay it in most cases. You know, these donors and it's donors in Memphis footing the bill for Penny's salary. I mean, what was the $2.5 million basically is what he's getting the new contract.
Why'd he get screwed so bad?
Memphis can only pay per the Board of Regents like something like $240,000 or something like that
as a state.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
yes,
the rest.
So
is,
do you
the rest
think
is
that
covered.
Melissa? Okay, to your point then. They about the sports they care is what you're saying.
Well,
so like Melissa, when they hire Melissa's job, it will not be for $300,000.
Oh, it will be for $300,000 because it's Title IX.
Oh.
And it has to be.
So
like,
the university
like even,
will pick that up.
Even her assistants were making over six figures because of it has to be commensurate with, the men's side.
So when Tennessee looked to hire a coach, they could have spent whatever they want. They just decided to hire the coach from UCF.
Basically. Yeah,
damn.
That's. Yeah.
And these boosters, I need to be a millionaire.
That's right.
Whatever I want for a damn basketball coach.
Anyway, the poll is up at 929 ESPN. We'll come back. Lots more to come in the rundown. Stick around. Jason and John, 929 FM, ESPN.
Memphis and the Mid-South's number one place for sports and the home of the Jason and John Show. Weekday, middays from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. WMFS FM and HD1 Portland. WMFS Memphis, live on the radio.com app.
Ride with the country's number one auto insurer, State Farm. I'm Kathy Thurman Edwards, the agent on Brookhaven Circle, with a big shout out to my awesome team now licensed in Arkansas, Mississippi, and Tennessee. Call or text 901-767-7744. We're still all better looking than a lizard.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/hire. That's ziprecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Performance Food Service is now hiring delivery drivers for the Memphis area. $10,000 sign-on bonus, $70,000 starting salary, plus daily incentive pay and quarterly performance bonus. Requires timely delivery of products for multi-drop food service customers, home nights and weekends. Best-in-class benefits package that covers all of your healthcare needs. Must have high school diploma or a GED, 1 year delivery driver experience, and Class A CDL with 3 years clean MVR. Apply today by clicking on careers at pfgc.com. PFGC.com. PFGC.com.
Looking for fine jewelry for that special occasion? Look no further than James Gaddis Jewelers. Hi, this is Jay Gaddis, and for over 60 years, my family has been here for Memphians on every occasion. Specializing in engagement, bridal, and custom design, we're here to make your dreams come true. Depend on us for birthdays, anniversaries, Valentine's, or any day in need of a smile. We have an extensive selection of gemstone, diamond, and pearl jewelry, watches, and designer pieces. Shop local at Poplar near Mendenhall in the heart of East Memphis. James Gaddis Jewelers, your family's jeweler.
Miami Heat star Duncan Robinson knows a thing or two about being overlooked. From beginning his college career at a D3 liberal arts school to starting in last year's NBA Finals. Now, on his new podcast, The Long Shot, Robinson celebrates the most unlikely and unexpected success stories in sports and beyond. Join Duncan and his co-host Davis Reed on The Long Shot podcast as they sit down with those who have proven naysayers wrong and overcame the odds. The Long Shot with Duncan Robinson and Davis Reed is available now for free on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your shows.
Have you been denied credit? Are you paying high interest rates because of a low credit score? Join the thousands of people who've relied on creditrepair.com to help rebuild their credit score.
I went to get my first car. I had to get a used car, high interest, and so I knew that things were done from there.
For over 15 years, we've helped thousands with their search for solutions to credit issues. We communicate with you, your creditors, and the credit bureaus with a unique approach designed to remove items like late payments, collections, charge-offs, liens, bankruptcy, and foreclosures that are unfair or inaccurate.
And I've gone up 40 points already.
There are many services offering to tell you your credit score and even monitor it for you. But what good is just knowing your credit score when what you really need is to fix it? Credit Repair members see a significant improvement in their credit scores month after month. Call now to get your no-obligation credit consultation, including your free credit score and free summary credit report. Don't delay. Call 800-478-8199. That's 800-478-8199. 800-478-8199.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin, with all guests appearing on the BetQL phone line. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Trees went back. Me and Del were singing. I was flying, yeah, running down a dream that never would come to me.
Ryan Silverfield's going to join us at 12:25, but first we got to do the rundown. Let's get it.
Now, it's the Rundown, presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Yeah, sadly, the Memphis Grizzlies go down last night, 102-92. Although, I will say, here is why I don't bet on the NBA. This is exactly why I do not bet on the NBA.
Do you not, or do you say you don't?
No, I definitely do
Can
not.
You give it a little try.
No, I do not bet on the NBA, and the reason I do not bet on the NBA is for this reason. The spread was 5. Now, the Mavericks did cover, but the idea that this was ever even in doubt, the idea that it was a 6-point game with 40 seconds left to go after the Grizzlies had 36 points at halftime, is why you don't bet on the NBA. It's absolutely absurd that this was a temp. I mean, the Grizzlies looked absolutely terrible. They looked awful. And yet it's only a 10-point loss. That's why you don't bet on the NBA, kids, because in the NBA, crazy, like it's like that Brian Windhorst thing he used to do. Something amazing happens in the NBA every single night.
Yeah, he stopped doing that, didn't he?
I guess that his contract
ran out. That was just for last year.
But I would say that, like, for me, the Grizzlies getting to 92 points is like something amazing. Something amazing happens in the NBA every night, including the Grizzlies getting to 92 last night, despite only having 36, in the first half. There's really not much nice to say about this. They shot poorly. You know, your wings are you're getting inconsistency from your wings. Justice Winslow
missed Dylan Brooks. Everybody trying to like to hate on Dylan Brooks. Joe missed him last night.
Well, I mean, everybody else picked up the part. They combined three of 26.
Oh,
I mean, they played.
You mean they played Dylan with him out?
Yeah, in spirit, man. And there's no question in spirit. I mean, you're just not Justice Winslow.
He's 4 of 24 in 2 games.
Going down as 2 of the worst debuts in Grizzlies history. I mean, would we not agree? This is awful.
I mean, 2 of 9 from 3 in 2. Let's be real. 22.2%. That's about what you would do. So I don't want to hear you going hard on Winslow.
I wasn't the number 10 pick in the draft.
Yeah, but you ain't had a year layoff either, okay?
Man, stop.
Y'all trying to pass judgment on Justice. Look, it's small sample
what
size.
What is wrong with you? Are you becoming a Justice apologizer?
I can't because it's absolutely brick city for that man.
I mean,
but I said yesterday,
he's
and it
getting minutes.
I said yesterday, and it doesn't. Yeah, he 26 minutes, which was strange because his production went down with more minutes. But I said it yesterday. You gotta let this guy play himself into shape at least. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'll give me that's fair before we make the ultimate judgment on him. It does absolutely look awful. But I see a guy too that's putting a lot of pressure on himself. Clearly wants to, you know, play well here after this again year layoff. I'm not sitting here crying for Justice Winslow because he struggled his first two games, but I'm not going to make any huge decisions on what I think about him in the future with the future of this franchise's association with it based on two. It's been ugly.
No, I agree.
It's absolutely ugly, but give it another week or two and let's see. Let's get through the All-Star break, see him with Jaren, see how that looks, give him some time. But he absolutely looks like a guy who is rusty as hell.
The reason I would have hope.
We knew this. We knew that it was going to look like this.
We were asking
the questions before he arrived.
Season one
What's
of The
fair
Office
to expect?
Was not highly rated. It was not well regarded.
When your office references here.
It took off season two. And, I mean, as you know, it was meteoric, the rise. So the point is The Office got off to a slow start. But most people regard it, certainly of my pigment, of one of the greatest shows ever.
Your people thought Friends was that.
Different
but
generation.
But for some reason.
Different generation.
You don't feel the same way, but yet you feel that with The Office.
Well, there were multiple black characters in The Office. It was just a little bit more representative, you know, of the times.
Stress on a little bit more.
The Friends had no black people.
Right. A little bit. Neither one really did. Neither one was truly. And certainly not of Memphis.
In The Office, you had Stanley and you had Daryl. Okay? Main characters.
That's enough, huh?
I'm not saying it's enough, but it was a huge
upgrade. No, man. I
want to
see that thing like Cosby Show, fool. I want to see that thing like Coming to America.
But
I want to see that thing like Dolomite.
That's what gives me hope, Jason, about Justice Winslow, is that things can start slow. And they have started very slow for Justice Winslow.
Truth is, Grizzlies 13-14. Y'all people trying to make the play-in game, the play-in series, all that stuff, should be happy. You're right on track.
Well, yeah.
And for the Johns of the world that, you know, would like a higher draft pick, really, frankly, you should be unhappy because they're not close enough with where they are at 13-14. Well, so they're kind of in the middle. And it's interesting because, again, I think it frames how, as we approach this trade deadline next month, the Grizzlies will take it. John, you can't make any assumptions on anything to where you're making calls trying to force something that, right? I mean, I don't think you're trying to move down. I don't think you're necessarily trying to move up and make something happen because, again, you don't really know what you got until Jaren gets back.
Well, think about it. Going into the All-Star break, I mean, they're going to lose three of their next five, just guaranteed.
I was going to got Clippers two times, got Houston, got Washington,
and Houston,
got Milwaukee.
And Houston might beat them.
Well, because it's down there.
Yeah.
They're still competitive.
Yeah.
Just cut Cousins, though, didn't they?
They did just cut Cousins.
He wasn't really doing much for them.
But the Grizzlies could lose four or five going into. And the Wizards just beat the Lakers. They could lose their next five. Tell me they couldn't.
I mean, the Clippers need to win both. They're going to beat one, Houston or Washington.
You think they go 1-4?
I do. I actually think it's going to be 1-4.
Well, they go 1-4.
I already counted that up.
If they go 1-4, then they will be out of 10.
14-18. You're out of 10th. But again, there's not a huge ton of games between you and the ability
to
move back up. But
the problem is
it's not going to get any easier second half of your schedule. You're just hoping that Jaren can make the big difference.
Yes.
And I think he should. I mean,
he will.
Certainly in your ability to judge where this team is and what it should do here going forward, especially in the immediate steps.
Yeah, but that seven-game winning streak was fun. I mean, you needed every bit of that.
Well, that's what I mean. I just think they were playing so above their heads defensively. It was almost like false hope. Like they were like number two in the league defensively. I think Ryan said maybe they were one at one point.
Yep.
But when I saw it, they were second. And what they as shorthanded as that was never something that was going to be sustainable.
That's right.
Now, what they can't be is where they're at right now, I think at 18th, 19th, they need to be. I heard Harrington talking about it this morning. I agree with him completely. This needs to be an upper half defensive team in the league. But, again, one of your defensive stalwarts has been out. Let's see where they're at once they get him back. That'll happen after the All-Star break.
Yep. So, anyway, tough night for the Grizzlies last night. And you just hope that after the All-Star break, you get Jaren back and you have a real actual look at what this thing's going to be.
Next story.
Before we get to, and maybe you can tell, because I made some references so far, I really want to get to the Craig Brewer and Coming to America, coming to America, as in to the second one coming out on March 5th. But one sports story before we get back to that. It's franchise tag time in the NFL. You guys notice today's the first day that you can do that. And it feels like the one you want to watch clearly is what's going on in Dallas with Dak Prescott. It feels to me like, John, and we've been saying this as the years have gone on, that it looks like Dak's the one that's going to have the leverage. And I'm telling you right now, he's got all of it. He's absolutely got all of the leverage to the point that a lot of people think Dallas is going to have to put him on the franchise tag. Now, what you're going to do is wait till the last day, if you're Dallas, that you can do it, right? Because in the meantime, you're going to be trying to negotiate that long-term. And if you're Washington, why would you not be trying to negotiate? I mean, if you're Dallas, why would you not be trying to negotiate long-term?
You
clearly saw this year how much you missed him. And clearly, I think Dallas's stance has been, we love Dak. This is what it feels like. We love Dak, but we don't want to pay him, you know, top money. We want to get him at a discount.
Yep.
Despite the fact that he's earned it to this point, and despite the fact that clearly you see what you are without him, how much he holds together when you've got him. To this point, he's earned it. And especially, John, after you've made the move to reward Ezekiel Elliott first with a contract, what good's that done for you? Was that the better move to make that the priority over Dak? Ridiculous at this point. I think Dallas has clearly seen they need him. And they'll be working till March 9th to get him. I think if you're Dak, you don't have to. Why do that when you can take another franchise tag? Remember Kirk Cousins, because this is what happened. Take that second franchise tag for a second year, John, be $37.7 million this year, okay? That would put you, last year was $31.4 million on the franchise, and then you go out and you pick your destination next year, much like Kirk Cousins did I'm telling you, more than a handful of franchises willing to give you the whole thing. Whatever you want. You want $40 million, that's the going rate on the best quarterbacks in the league now. That's what we're going to give you. There's going to be a whole bunch of franchises willing to jump on that. Dak's got all the leverage. I don't see why right now he would do the long-term deal. Just take the franchise season, which is what he did last year, right? They didn't get this worked out. It was the same situation. They ended up franchising him. Well, now you've built yourself, giving you a $6 million raise on the franchise tag. And then you'll have your opportunity after this year. They won't be able to do that to go wherever the heck you want.
I just don't understand why the Cowboys have been so reluctant to sign him up.
They've blown it. They were trying to get the quarterback at a discount.
I mean, yeah. But
you're going to pay the running back, right, who you see clearly now, not the leader of your offense.
They paid everybody else. They paid literally everybody else except Dak. I mean, at this point, you saw – I mean, he was putting up friggin' 500 yards a game before he got hurt. I can only think of maybe a handful of teams right now, Jason, that would not much rather have Dak as their starting QB. And you know who those five are, right? Like the Kansas City Chiefs, Green Bay Packers.
Buffalo probably thinks it's got its man.
And the Chicago Bears. And everybody else would absolutely much rather have Dak Prescott as their starting quarterback. It's just the truth.
No, we're in there too. You see all the talk now. Are the Bears going to make a move for Deshaun Watson? I'm going to keep my excitement level low, but I'd almost give up the whole thing for –
Who do you think is going to be your starting quarterback next year?
I really do think it's good.
It's going to be Trubisky.
No, it's not.
It is.
Yeah, no, here's what you don't understand about the situation with the Bears. I'll tell you real briefly and explain it to you before we get to Ryan Silverfield. Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are trying to save their jobs. So they're going to do something out of desperation to try to do that. They're going to try to make a huge splash, a huge move to try to save their gigs. And what doesn't get that is going out and signing Ryan Fitzpatrick to a one-year deal. Or going and seeing if Cam Newton can give you something on a one-year, that doesn't save your job. What could possibly save your job is if you make a mega move and go out and get a Deshaun Watson, he's awesome for you, then you're locked in with him, and you see potentially how they would be looking at that.
Right.
You've saved us, Deshaun Watson. They need something like that to save them. They're in a position where they're going to be fired, John, after this year. They should have been fired after this previous season.
Well, we will pass that along and certainly hope to get Isaac Brown up in there as well, see if we can do kind of two jobs.
I'd like to make Isaac an assistant on that Bears.
Yeah.
On that Bears
squad. We know he would change it.
I think he could coach the DBs or something. It's ridiculous.
Change the culture. You know what I'm saying?
We know who you want. Mark Turgeon on your staff. Wackest take you've had in 5 years here.
Wow, and I've had some takes.
Give Mark Turgeon the Wichita State. No, it is the one.
That's the wackest take I've ever had.
It takes the cake. I don't know what – When did you and Mark cross paths? Was this at the Vegas the Vegas night with all the sports writers? Was Mark Turgeon there?
We have never actually crossed paths, believe it or not. I heard his name was coming up, man. All right, that's the extent of it. Anyway, we're going to talk to Ryan Silverfield, University of Memphis football coach, when we come back about what he thinks it will feel like to go undefeated next year. Also get his thoughts on the quarterback competition and more over there at Memphis. That's up next. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Imagine feeling the freedom of 20/20 vision without the hassle of foggy glasses and contacts. Well, thanks to the LASIK Vision Institute, that freedom could be yours. If you want LASIK, then the LASIK Vision Institute has officially taken away everything standing in your way. At the LASIK Vision Institute, we're offering dramatically low prices, as low as $220 per eye, plus affordable financing. Go to LASIK.com and see if LASIK is right for you. The LASIK Vision Institute offers the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology, and our expert medical teams have performed over 1.3 million procedures. Technology and experience, all more affordable than you might imagine. Go to LASIK.com today to schedule your free consultation and start feeling the freedom of better vision. That's LASIK.com. Individual results vary. $220 per eye price available based on prescription. Go to LASIK.com for details. Patients age 40 and over will likely experience the need for reading glasses.
Miami Heat star Duncan Robinson knows a thing or two about being overlooked. From beginning his college career at a D3 liberal arts school to starting in last year's NBA Finals. Now, on his new podcast, The Long Shot, Robinson celebrates the most unlikely and unexpected success stories in sports and beyond. Join Duncan and his co-host Davis Reed on The Long Shot podcast, and they sit down with those who have proven naysayers wrong and overcame the odds. The Long Shot with Duncan Robinson and Davis Reed is available now for free on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your shows.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin, with all guests appearing on the BetQL phone line. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Ryan Silverfield is the coach of University of Memphis football. Let's make him the giant interview.
Now, it's the giant interview, presented by A-Team Roofing. Online at ateamroofers.com. The A-Team Roofing Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Coach Silverfield, how you doing, man?
Great. How are you guys doing this morning?
Everything.
Or this afternoon, or whatever time it is. I don't know. I've been up since early with morning workouts. You guys doing all right?
Everything is
ready to talk some football.
Is good. Absolutely. Before we get into your schedule.
No Raiders questions.
No, you will get zero.
Why,
I guarantee
why
you.
Would I ask a bona fide Raider hater anything about the Raiders?
It's beneath you, Coach.
I don't hate the Raiders at all. I'm excited.
You know what?
They are beneath you.
There's some stuff going on this NFL.
I can't wait. You know what I hope for every single night before I go to bed? I pray for it. I pray that one of your players gets drafted by the Raiders so that you have to hang a Raider jersey in your office.
I can't wait. I'd wear it loud and proud.
See, it's just a win-win for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Before we get into you guys going undefeated next season and all of that, I did want to get your thoughts on just when you going back to when you got this job and obviously you getting the interim tag after Mike took the gig at Florida State. What was sort of the process like as the interim? Because we've talked a lot on this show about a basketball coach at Wichita State. He's doing a good job as the interim and whether or not he's going to get the full-time gig. You were once in that position hoping that the interim tag was removed. Can you just kind of take us into that process, how it went, and just sort of how it all played out?
Yeah, John, absolutely. So, you know, obviously unique circumstances. We beat Cincinnati for the championship, and that night, in the locker room, I obviously you guys know my relationship with Mike Norvell. I knew that at that point that he was going to Florida State, and I had wished him well. I told him I wouldn't be able to join him the next day. And at that night, I had conversations with Laird Veach and President Rudd, and Laird had told me that wanted to know if I'd be willing to take the interim head coaching job. He said that that would I didn't have to, and I'd still be a candidate for the head job. I accepted it. And really, from that minute on, if you talk about the next morning, Mike said his goodbyes to the team at a team meeting. Well, right after that, I immediately had to do a staff meeting. So I met with our staff and actually laid out a recruiting plan for that week. I said, hey, look, nothing changes. You guys all are employees of the University of Memphis, and while you're employed here, you will carry out your duties, and so will I. And then I met with the team that afternoon and explained the exact same situation. Look, we've got a bowl game. Once we were announced that we were playing Penn State, so it was a lot of excitement, you know, going, getting ready for the Cotton Bowl, and had some things here and there to take care of. And then I hit the ground running. The biggest thing for me was don't deviate. Just act exactly like you're the head coach and make sure the staff acts like they're 100% employees of the University of Memphis, regardless of what they thought may occur with me or with their future. And, you know, the biggest thing was just, without skipping a beat, make sure we had a plan in place. And last sleepless nights, but it was a heck of a lot of fun. And it all worked out in the end.
Coach, I got to ask you, it's the one thing we're all asking each other, how this quarterback battle is going to play out in terms of the way it's set up. Is it, how are you approaching it? Wide open, go show it to me this spring, carry it over. How excited are you about it and the potential it could bring in terms of the best it could bring out of guys? Where are you sort of the approach heading into this quarterback battle you got?
Yeah, Jason, look, we've got, I believe currently on our roster, we've got four guys that can compete for the starting job. And I truly mean that, right? We've gone into year. We knew that Brady was a quarterback last year. We even knew when we had Riley, right, that he was a quarterback.
Exactly.
So this is one of those years that, you know, look, Memphis has had a nice lineage of quarterbacks over, really, if you want to look at it, over the stretch of about 8 years. And this will be the first time we're going into a spring and maybe even to a fall saying, okay, who the heck's our quarterback? And, you know, we got a true freshman that should still be in high school named Seth Hennigan, who won the state championship in Texas and then literally the next day was on our campus. Right, we got Keelan Brown, a redshirt freshman from Louisiana, who we're excited about, who's really smart and athletic. Peter Parrish, a transfer from LSU, who's coming in and competing. And then Grant Gunnell, as we know, the transfer from Arizona. So we like our roster, right? We got guys at different ages and different grades. And that doesn't mean, hey, you guys know how this is. If I don't like what I see out of the spring, maybe we'll bring in more competition. But if we're going to throw it all out the wall and see what sticks.
What do you need from that position, right? Like, I mean, Brady was a combination of, like, obviously the accuracy and the leadership and the IQ. That's what you heard about every single time, you know, that Brady came up. Like, what does the prototypical Ryan Silverfield quarterback need to have?
You know, I always laugh when people, you know, and I think it was a great quote. It was probably Tom Brady, like, 2 years ago. Someone said, you know, called Tom Brady a game manager, and he goes, well, isn't that what I'm supposed to do, right? Manage the game, right? Put us in the right situations and complete balls and not turn the football over. Isn't that what I'm – and so, you know, we don't need a running quarterback here at Memphis. Our offense doesn't necessarily predicate that. Now, we have the ability to be able to do that. So if it is one of our more athletic options, we can certainly do have some of that zone read element to our quarterback game. But really, the number one attribute I look for is accuracy. If a quarterback's not accurate, you're just going to struggle no matter where you're at, right? Some people talk about arm strength. We knew that Riley Ferguson had a much stronger arm than Brady White. Well, Brady White also threw the back shoulder fade with immense accuracy, right? So, I mean, there's different things that you're going to find in each quarterback. Both were super intelligent, right? We know Paxton Lynch was a big gunslinger that could run around a little bit back there. So, you know, it's each one, but I think accuracy and intelligence are the number one, number two things we're looking for.
Could it be a scenario, Coach, where maybe you even have, like, let's just say, like, a guy emerges, he becomes starting quarterback, and he's the guy, but could it be a scenario where you might have some packages designed, you know, for another quarterback on the roster, given that I'm not asking you to start two quarterbacks, but just, you know, have two packages? Like, is that something that you've considered?
Absolutely. I think you have to be it's my job and our jobs as coaches to be creative and figure out the best way to get the guys on the field that can do things, right? I think that's important. You guys have seen in the past, we've done wildcat packages just to get a running type guy in the backfield, whether it's short yards or goal line or, you know, versus Central Florida a few years ago in the championship game. I think that some of that stuff is important and add element to it, right? We may have a quarterback that we say, man, he's a close number two. How can we get him on the field? And what's his package? What's his skill set that may make a team now have to prepare for two quarterbacks? Now, I don't want to go in and do the old Chicago Bears and rotate quarterbacks and have Rex Grossman in for a series and then let somebody else come in for two series and then put another guy in. So we're ideally would like to find a starter, but we're not afraid to rotate guys and put guys in where needed.
Well, I know, because adjustments is something you do well and you will if you have to, but ideally
Would you like to have it figured out by the end of spring? Is this something you definitely, well, sticking with the quarterbacks, something you definitely know that will carry over into the fall? What do you think there?
Yeah, I think in the back of our mind, we'd love to have an idea,
okay.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
where I'll be really uncomfortable is if I don't feel set on anybody, right? I hope
I
we go through spring like, oh, I got four dudes, we got four guys. This is great. Let them continue to compete and let the cream continues to rise to the top and figure this thing out. That's what I'm hoping, right? We get four guys that we fall in love with and they continue to elevate us at a high level, because we also know things can happen, right? Injuries, transfers, all those things can be stuff that can occur. So I believe this thing's going to go all the way up until the first game. What I don't want to do is come out of spring saying, oh my gosh, and then all of a sudden I'm searching around the transfer portal trying to find someone. I don't believe so. I think I've got great confidence in each one of their skill sets and their work ethic. So I think we'll be just fine.
We are, of course, talking to Memphis football coach Ryan Silverfield here on the show. Look, you announced it a couple of weeks ago that there's going to be a spring game. There was not a spring game. I don't even think there was spring anything. Not spring practice, nothing. You couldn't do anything with those guys last spring, obviously, because of COVID. But you announced on Twitter that there is going to be a spring game. How much of a relief is it for you, you know, having coached through last year and been through all the adversity and the adjustments and the protocols of last year, that, hey, there is light at the end of this tunnel, and it starts in April with a spring game with fans in attendance?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Look, we're not going to pull any punches. There was a lot of navigation, and like I said, credit should go to the student-athletes. For everything they went through the university, and I'll continue to give them and the support staff, all those people, a lot of credit. It was a stressful year, and a lot of things occurred, and we're not out of the woods yet, as we well know, but you're exactly right. There's that light at the end of the tunnel. There's something to be excited for, right? It was about this time last year that I was planning, you know, a little spring break vacation, and we know the good and well that I talk about that spring break got extended 2 months, and we certainly hope that we come back for spring ball. We'll, you know, I'm just so excited to get on the field and get, you know, 15 good practices. We got a lot of new faces, a lot of people competing. I told our staff, I mean, it's just going to be fun to get back out there and play ball, hopefully without the stressors that occurred last year, you know, and the unknowns and the, you know, the changing of schedules, the opt-outs, all those things. And let's go out there with our roster that we're really excited about, of high-character young men, and that. And then, like you guys said, I mean, spring game on April 16th, Friday Night Stripes. I mean, look, if the city allows us to at least even have the same amount we had for games, you know, maybe even more. I mean, I want to see 10,000-plus Memphis fans that are excited to go out there and watch their Tigers run around.
That's what I got to imagine, too, not just the spring game, but the idea we can get back to some sense of normalcy and you can have a packed stadium as well, Coach. I mean, you must be longing for that. Everything you guys went through, you must be longing for that come this fall. Like a, you know, a full house for Mississippi State. I mean, you want them for every game. But that one, obviously, in a regular year, you'd expect that thing to be full. I guess in your mind's eye, you hope that we're all back to that by this fall?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, look, selfishly for myself, and our wonderful fans, you know, I mean, they're the ones that are itching to get back in there and fill up the Liberty Bowl. But you know, you talk about these seniors and, right, these guys that came back for that extra year, they
right.
deserve it. They've worked so darn hard. They've gone through so much. And we hopefully we're putting a good product on the field where people are excited, you know, with the home opener versus Nicholls State. Think about this. You know, our first games, I mean, we start with three of our first four in our stadium. In fact, like I told somebody, I said, we're actually going to be staying in our team hotel for the first four games, right? Because we've got that short drive over to Jonesboro. So
right.
expect a lot of Memphis fans there. And then we end the season with three of our four games in the Liberty Bowl. So there's a lot of excitement, and you're absolutely right. The more fans we can get, the more normalcy we can create just because it's such a great atmosphere.
What do you think the best part of going undefeated next season is going to be?
You know, being able to call you and have this conversation next year, and you can tell me that you were right, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right. That's what he does.
Yeah, you're like having that wife in my ear telling me you're always right, so I appreciate that.
Yeah. No, obviously, we have high expectations for you over there on the football side. Also want to ask you, there's some new faces in this league. Josh Heupel moved on. He's now the coach at Tennessee and UCF, which, of course, you know, you did get a win over last season for the first time in program, I don't know, since the 90s, something crazy like that. Gus Malzahn, who, you know, look, if you watch college football, like, he was a very prominent coach, a big name. Just for the league, right, the reputation of the league, That has to feel like a victory, that a guy like Gus Malzahn, who has, you know, been in the national championship game in the SEC, sees UCF and the AAC as an opportunity to sort of relaunch his career.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, there's a reason why he's been a coach of the year, right? And we already know how good this conference is, and we've had that conversation on this station. I mean, it's important to understand that, like, there's a reason why Cincinnati was as good as they were last year, right? I mean, and every year this team's going to continue to put in the top 10 teams. But we know top to bottom, there are no cupcakes. Gus Malzahn's obviously a fantastic coach. You've seen coaches in our conference turn down Power 5 jobs because they believe where they're at's a better opportunity. And I certainly believe that. So it's a feather in the cap for us to be able to continue to add great coaches to these programs. And, look, we know good and hard that every team in this conference can line up every day and compete.
Coach, I got to ask you, because much like me, you've always held Matthew Stafford in high regard, unlike John Martin, who's never thought much of them. What will he do for the Rams, sir?
Yeah, you know, so two things, and this may be more in-depth than most people want to go on the show, but, you know, one of the things the Rams just did is their offensive line coach, they changed offensive line coaches last week. You guys know me, I'm a proponent of what the Rams do in their wide zone run game is going to have an effect on the quarterback.
Yep.
And maybe that's partially because of what they're going to be doing with Stafford. I truly believe Matt Stafford's a winner. I think he's smart. I think he's tough. I think he's got a few good years left of football. I think, you know, Coach McVay will put him in a good situation in order for him to have success. And, you know, I don't know what the Rams have returning. And, who knows what the heck free agency is going to hold with salary cap for these others. But I do think that's a perfect marriage for Matt Stafford. And he deserves to win. He's one of those quarterbacks that, you know, always felt like never got enough credit.
Yep, I think he does absolutely put them over the top. We'll see, but he certainly gets them closer to a Super Bowl championship. There's no doubt about it. Hey, Coach, man, we appreciate
the
time,
as always.
Man.
Thanks,
Thank
Coach.
You.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. Always a pleasure to be on it. It always seems like it goes too quick. We could probably talk for a few more hours on all the wonderful stuff. But look forward to, like I said, I'm sure we'll talk before our spring game on April 16th. But Tiger fans, go ahead and mark your calendars and appreciate you guys. Everybody be safe.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Coach.
He is Ryan Silverfield, University of Memphis head football coach. And yeah, I mean, I think that was one of the sort of first signs. You know, look, I believe this. I'm not a scientist. I'm not Anthony Fauci. I just know what I see. I think we're going to have pretty damn full stadiums, or at least the ability, right? I'm not saying mask usage will be gone. I'm not saying that you won't still have to take precautions, but like I think they'll be able to have practically full, 40,000
by September 18th.
Yeah,
third game of the season.
I'm pretty bullish on that.
Yeah, we talked about it last week. I feel solid about it based on where the facts are.
Yes,
but I don't think you can guarantee anything.
I think you'll have the ability to do it.
Yes.
Right. There would be no restrictions.
Right. Like they
100% can have the ability to do it.
It'll be up to comfort level of the fan.
Yeah.
Buying the ticket.
And there's a theory of pent up demand and things like that. You know, people have been inside their houses for the last year.
And I feel like SEC country ready to get out. So Mississippi State, I feel like they're going to do their part.
Oh, Florida, can you imagine? I mean, Florida State, absolutely. You give these folks an opportunity Tennessee even, you know. I mean, the SEC ain't even a question. They will absolutely be full capacity next season, no doubt. And I think that's got to be a good feeling. You know, that's got to be a good feeling for Ryan Silverfield to have fans at a spring game, to be having a spring game. They didn't have one last year. Things are slowly but surely getting back to the normal that we knew. It's going to be different, right? We're never going to forget this time, and there are probably going to be certain precautions that are always in place. But, you know, in terms of that, you know, I think for a lot of us the last year, there was always like that thought, front, back, whatever, in your mind, like, oh, should I be doing this, right? The risk your risk management totally changed, right? You thought about things you never would otherwise thought about. I think eventually that will seed, and it'll be a little bit different.
Do we, Gut says Gunnell, right? 6'6", 228, you brought him in after you having Peter. Gut says he'll be the guy, all right? And he's got 3 years of eligibility. Be looking at a situation where he's your three-year starter, could be prolific like the previous guys you've had?
I think so, yeah. I mean, obviously Ryan Silverfield's not going to announce it on our show, but yes.
No, but like you said, you want to kind of have that idea by the end of the spring. I think
yes.
That's why it was pertinent. And I think we all feel like, you know, bringing in Gunnell, you didn't do that for no reason.
That's right.
You knew what you had already, what you were going to have in that quarterback room. You wouldn't have gone out and gotten a guy of that caliber.
I agree.
Right? If you weren't hoping he wins the job.
Yep. So that'll just be figured out there in the spring. And, of course, Fall camp. All right, we will come back. Lots more to come here on the show on a Tuesday. Jason and John, 99 FM, ESPN.
Coming up Wednesday, we'll tell you what the best case scenario is for the Jets as they look to finally get that franchise quarterback. Plus, we know KC has its quarterback, but what else do they need? That's Wednesday. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
KJZ, weekday mornings from 5 a.m. till 9 a.m. on 92.9 FM, ESPN, Memphis's sports station. The teams, the Grizzlies, the Tigers, the SEC, the NFL, and more. All the names, all the games. One place. 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's crunchy!
Creamy!
Sweet.
Salty. Nature Valley Sweet and Salty Peanut Bars. Bursting with crunchy peanuts, dipped in creamy nut butter coating.
Delicious.
Nature Valley.
Recent weather taking a toll on your roof? A-Team Roofing has you covered, literally, with their 24-hour tarp service to stop further damage.
I pity the fool that doesn't check out our online reviews.
A-TeamRoofers.com.
If I'm not commuting anymore, where do I really want to live?
While you handle life's questions, Merrill Guided Investing helps you manage your portfolio and invest for your next move. With the option to work with an advisor at a low cost and minimum. Merrill, a Bank of America company. Visit MerrillEdge.com/investing goals to get started today.
Investing involves risk. Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner, and Smith Incorporated, both a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor, member SIPC. Investment products are not FDIC insured or not bank guaranteed and may lose value.
Whether it's football, basketball, baseball, golf, or real estate, having the winning coach makes all the difference in your success. This is Sheldon Rosengarten with Mark Spensdorf Realtors, and I'm with Coach Terry Tippett, winner of 6 state basketball championships. Coach, what's been the secret to your and your team's successes?
Sheldon, there's no one secret. It becomes a pattern of success after coaching for so many years and learning the ins and outs of the game and the players, a lot like the pattern of your success in selling homes.
Thanks, Coach. Like you and your program, I developed my highly successful strategic marketing program with the Shell Bucks option, and I also tried to use it in my golf game.
Sheldon, tried is the optimum word. You better stick to selling homes, as you're always hitting holes in one at that instead of double bogeys.
Thanks a lot. And if anyone is thinking of selling their home, make sure and talk to 2 to 3 coaches. I mean real estate brokers. Let me be one of them. You can reach me at 682-1868 or MemphisRelocate.com. At 682-1868 or MemphisRelocate.com and be a winner.
Cooper Systems is in the Mount Moriah Office Park, 360-9679. That's the number. This is Gary Parrish from The Gary Parrish Show. I've been telling you about Cooper Systems for years. It's the place to get any kind of computer you need. They've also been repairing computers, honestly, for decades, and nobody knows that better than this city's best consumer investigator ever, the legend Andy Wise.
Gary, I came to know Cooper Systems when I partnered with Lee and Lauren Cooper and their staff on an undercover investigation a couple of years ago on computer repair businesses. And Lee and his crack technicians helped me uncover some pretty bad deals, and they helped me hold these lesser computer repair shops accountable. I mean, you know, for over 26 years, Cooper Systems has been solving computer problems honestly and at a fair price. What I have discovered in my partnership with them is if you want reputation, if you want locally owned, if you want an impeccable record, you want Cooper Systems.
360-9679 is the number, 360-9679. If you want to deal with somebody you can trust, it's Cooper Systems, Mount Moriah Office Park, on the web, coopersystems.com.
For all your computer needs, trust Cooper Systems to be your wise choice.
Let's be real. Mopping is a hassle. You have to fill the bucket, pushing a wet, heavy mop around, then cleaning the mop when you're done so it doesn't grow bacteria. A hassle on top of a hassle. Try Swiffer WetJet. With Swiffer WetJet, you start with a fresh pad and cleaning solution every time. And when you're done, you just toss the pad. Swiffer WetJet. The faster, easier, cleaner way to clean your floors.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Jason Smith here, and listen, AutoZone's always been my go-to when it comes to keeping my 2006 Mazda on the road here in Memphis, especially when it comes to my battery, which I've always had tested and occasionally have had to replace at AutoZone. Their free battery services will let you know if you need a new battery or simply a fresh charge. They've got reliable replacement batteries starting at just $79.99. Battery trouble? Not anymore. Head to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
The President's Day sales event is going strong at Gossett Kia on Covington.
Remington Pike. 2021 Kia Forte, $133 a month lease. That's less than $5 a day for a new ride. 2021 Kia Soul, completely redesigned exterior and interior, $149 a month lease. And 2021 Kia K5, just $182 a month lease. All 36 months with $3,149 due at signing, and they all come with Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. So let's conquer the cold and gear up for winter in your new Kia from gas at Kia 1900 Covington Pike or online at KiaCovingtonPike.com. Ask for Bobby J. He'll put you in a new Kia today.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor Cars.
All 36-month leases, $31.49 due at signing, zero security deposit, 10,000 miles per year, 20 cents excess mileage, $6.50 acquisition fee, Forte, ME3-19038, MSRP 20,625, Soul, M77-55638, MSRP 20,660, K5, MG00-5560, MSRP 25,725, include all manufacturer rebates and incentives, PF 695, excludes tax title license with approved credit, see dealer for complete details, offer valid through 3-1.
You want to get down?
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin, with all guests appearing on the BetQL phone line. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
Come on in.
Soup joint. You need a drink. That's what I recommend. It's my go-to whiskey. Make it your go-to whiskey as well. Available wherever your favorite liquors are sold. It's just $29.99. And for $29.99, you get a drink that is smoother than smooth and bolder than the blues. My bar at home is absolutely stocked with it for good reason. My neighbors want some. Every time I have friends over, they want some. You can drink it neat. You can drink it on the rocks. Make a cocktail with it, all kinds of different recipe ideas over at BlueNoteBourbon.com. It's a versatile drink. You're a versatile person. Pick up a bottle of Blue Note Juke Joint today.
Touched on this earlier in the show. Wanted to get a little bit into it because I got a question for you. Coming to America's coming out March 5th, I believe it is, if I'm not mistaken. And obviously we know coming out on Amazon, Prime Video streaming service. What was the last big one? Came out on Amazon. Borat. The second one, right? The Borat. Yeah. Borat came out on Amazon because that's what we're doing now with theaters only partially open in some areas. Now they're going to open in theaters and on Amazon, as far as I know, in some limited theater capacity.
That's right.
But I've long awaited this for a while. Those of us that saw Coming to America, it was something that we watched and rewatched and watched, and it's just one of those movies. And maybe that, maybe part of it, too, because of just how popular Eddie Murphy was at that time and how good he was and still is in some things. I mean, Eddie is Dolomite. And have you seen Dolomite
No.
that Craig Brewer did
I've
with
seen
him?
It. Yeah.
Okay, it's fantastic,
it's great.
By the way.
Yeah.
And I think it was that relationship that sort of, that I think for Eddie convinced him that Craig Brewer was the right guy to do Coming to America with, the second version of this. What's so great is that they've literally got almost all of the cast back from the first one.
Yeah.
And you've got to go way back. What are we talking about? 1980 what?
88.
Because 88 was the year. To go. So you're going all the way back. You're getting that original cast for the most part. Check on this, though, guys, because everything I've read, and I've read John Bifus has got a great article about it over at commercialappeal.com. You go read it right now. From everything I've seen in terms of the cast coming back, the one that I cannot find, though, and I believe has spoken to this because he's not in it, is Eric LaSalle, the guy that played the boyfriend, the one that Eddie was jealous of, Soul Glow, with the afro.
Okay.
You know, Eric LaSalle, who then went on to ER stardom and has been a fantastic, I think, producer, has done some Broadway stuff. Mm-hmm. He's a fantastic, but I don't think he's in this one. Everybody else, John Amos, James Earl Jones.
Arsenio's in it.
Arsenio is in. You had to have Arsenio because they're playing four different parts. But even James Earl, who I learned this from Bifus's article, he had to film his parts from where he is up in New York, I believe it was, because at 90 years old, he cannot travel. He couldn't go down to Tyler Perry's studios and film this with everybody else because he's up there in age. Yep. And he actually, they do his death in this movie. It's something that he's going to pass away.
John Amos still with us. He's 81.
Amos is 81. He's back in it. You got James Earl at 90 years old. He's back in it. So we're hoping for good things in this, which leads me to my question. Has there ever been, and I'm sure that there have, instances where the sequel, as this will be, has been better than the original? I'm having a hard time, as great as Craig was and Eddie were on Dolomite, that sort of partnership. And I know this is going to be good. The first was a classic. It's going to be hard to beat it. I'm rooting for it to do so. But has there been a case where, because it's so hard, it's like the eternal question, can you really have a better sequel than you had original? Like because the expectations are going to be so high. Have there been sequels that were better than the original movie?
Was Major League 2 better than Major League 1? Probably not, right? And Major League 1 was hard to overcome that.
Did Major League 2 have Wesley Snipes still in it, or had Omar Epps become Willie Mays Hayes?
Let me go back here. Major League 2 had...
Because if it had,
Snipes wasn't in that cast. No, he wasn't in the second one. So
I want to tell you that's when they switched over to Omar Epps.
And, so it definitely
one
is better.
I need that original cast
that's
on that.
Why.
You see how I remember that? See how I remember
Snipes.
That they switched over. And it's because Wesley at that time cost too much.
They were like, too much money.
We can't bring you back with this cast. We got
John.
He was hot.
John in the '90s. That broke.
And speaking of Wesley, to bring it full circle, he's part of this. He's part of Coming to America. He'll be in this.
Yeah, I mean, Jason, I think you're worried a little too much about this, brother. I mean, look, Coming to America is a good movie. I understand that it was a cult classic. But
classic.
Over at Rotten Tomatoes, critics gave it a rating of 67%. Yeah, so.
Here we go. Here's a list of 35 sequels better than the original movie that I found from Time. It's going to take a second to pull it up here.
If your point is that Coming to America was not a classic because of its Rotten Tomatoes grade, it's absolutely ridiculous, and it's the problem with America today.
No.
Yes, it is.
It's my major point is that, like, you're worried about whether or not the sequel is going to be able to touch the original. Yes, it's clearly going to be able. I mean, all you have to do is get to 68% on Rotten Tomatoes. You're going to be all right.
Rotten Tomatoes, John, what I'm trying to tell you is not the be-all, end-all.
Rotten Tomatoes.
No, it is not. It is
Rotten
for your
Tomatoes.
Generation. And
Rotten Tomatoes.
There is a part of me that resents that.
Rotten
that
Tomatoes.
You literally won't watch it at all.
Yes.
Right? You'll just go to Rotten Tomatoes and decide, you know what, it's not worth my time.
Rotten Tomatoes
says the first one wasn't good.
Everywhere.
You're saying because Rotten Tomatoes says the first one wasn't good, which is ridiculous.
It says
again,
it's good.
If you watch it,
67% is good.
No, you
okay.
just made
it's
the point
good.
That it's okay.
It's okay. It's
and that
fine.
By default, this one will be better was the point you just made.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
That's ridiculous.
You painting this thing up like it's just the greatest cinematic achievement of all time.
It was
dude,
very
it was,
good,
dude,
John.
It was,
John, here's the yeah. here's
a
what
funny
you don't
movie,
let
know.
Let me tell you. Let me tell
Eddie
you why
Murphy,
this was.
It
was
very good.
Because as Eddie Murphy has pointed out, this was, you had an all black cast.
Yeah.
You had all black everything for the most part. And, John, it wasn't just for black people. White folks loved it.
We loved it.
It was massive. It was massive. And what it showed, John, sort of what I said about Black Panther back when people were trying to tell me that was insignificant, was that you could do it. You could do it for an audience that wasn't just black. It didn't just cap off your money. You would actually have white folks enjoying what was a mostly black cast. That's what Rotten Tomatoes won't tell you. That's that part of the story. The context it involved
fair.
With it. And that's why that movie was crossover all the way.
Mm-hmm.
You got folks like Brad
loved it.
From a completely different area of the country that absolutely loved the movie just like I did, despite our different our different backgrounds, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Coming to America was a classic. Nobody will tell me different.
No, I'm not going to try to tell you that it's not, man.
Now you're telling me that it sucked.
I'm going to try to tell you
because Rotten Tomatoes says it sucked.
And no, 67% is not a suck. It's a good movie.
It's
a good movie.
Your whole point was this one's going to be better than 67. How could it not be?
It will be better than 67. It will absolutely be more critically acclaimed than the first.
Well, and because you will have more people coming on that have watched it, younger folks like you that don't know a damn thing about the first one, that will say it's good. That's why it'll have a higher grade. That's ridiculous to base it on Rotten Tomatoes.
Here, I'm going to give you from Hollywood Reporter top critic. This is a review of the original. Okay, he's a Hollywood Reporter.
You be careful. You see,
dude,
Dwayne Burge.
He's insinuating this was not a good movie, Brad. Now he's backpedaling.
I have not seen it.
Well, you need to watch the movie.
This comedy is generally tame and sappy. What we get is homogenized Eddie Murphy, drained of his kinetic comic charm and smiling sass.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Eddie plays like six people in the movie.
Richard
stuff that you don't see anymore
Schickel,
from actors.
Richard Schickel from Time Magazine says the director is rather distracted. John Landis seems to be
browsing
through
the scenes.
It was Landis.
He's like critically acclaimed.
Rather than gobbling them down. I'm just reading you some review. Variety says starts on a bathroom joke, quickly followed by a gag about private parts, then wanders in search of something equally original for Eddie Murphy to do for another couple of hours. Now, are these unfair in your opinion?
They sound completely misinformed. They sound like a white man up in some high rise apartment who watching
This is beneath me. It is not funny. This is not Landis's best work. What Ghostbusters is.
What would your review of Coming to America be?
Classic.
That's it? Classic?
Yes, it changed it. It changed the game, like I told you.
It changed the game.
Game-changing comedy.
Okay, here's the quote, John. I'm going to go back to the point I was making. The first movie in the history of movies that had an all-black cast that was successful around the world. That means something. That means significant. More than just the review of the characters and the plot line and all that kind of stuff. Like I'm telling you, it had a way with an all-black cast of still, we all, just much like The Cosby Show. Hell, mostly black cast.
Great
Brad's
show.
Watching the damn thing.
Love the show.
That's what I'm saying. And those are unique, right? Because that's what we've said. Well, if you're going to have an all-black cast, then that's only going to be for black people.
Jason.
And so it's going to limit your ticket. It's ridiculous. Black Panther showed us that. This showed us that back then.
Diversity is fantastic. But Rotten Tomatoes, bro.
You will get nowhere with me on that.
Rotten Tomatoes.
In fact, it's only digging a hole.
Okay.
It looks like losing a Tulsa twice. What you talking about this Rotten Tomatoes thing?
I mean, you're
Rotten Tomatoes doesn't tell you anything about the significance of the movie. And that's part of what, John, the significance
the movie
of
good?
It is what made
was the movie good?
Or the movie was great.
Or was the movie great. Significant?
And look, we were simpler people back then. Here's the part I'll give you. It was easier to entertain young me and young Brad back then because we hadn't seen as much.
Yeah.
You guys come up on YouTube, John. You've seen everything. You're just like my kid. He's already seen everything. He's heard cursing all this stuff. He's seen it all on the YouTube. We were simpler people.
Let me tell you something else.
And by result, we were easier to entertain. So maybe we did fall
for it. I don't give a damn. If this is my last day.
Who says Coming to America wasn't a good movie?
It was a great movie. It was a great movie. On the radio show and on the radio station, I will let this. I don't care what y'all say about my movie taste. Star Wars sucks. How about that?
Whoa!
How about that?
No,
you like
the
that?
Only person you're going to trigger with that is the man that's going to be producing the Gary Parrish show from 2 to 4.
Yeah, you are crazy.
I'm not that locked down.
You
are a Wookiee.
You are crazy if you think the only person that's going to be offended by that take is Bennett Doyle.
Well, it ain't going to be me.
Probably the whole 2 to 4 show.
Why do you think they keep making stuff?
No, it's probably the whole 2 to 4 show, to be in fairness. I'm not offended by
it. I have never in my entire 30 years of existence on this planet understood why people like Star Wars.
People
I don't understand.
There are a ton of Wookiees out there, bro.
I like the Avengers. The Avengers are cool. Like, yes. I like Iron Man, and I like the Hulk, and again, I like Spider-Man.
We were easier to entertain back then.
Yeah.
It was outer space. We hadn't seen much then in the 80s and that stuff.
Yeah, but people still watch it, though.
Little moving trash cans, C-3PO.
Exactly.
It impressed the hell out of them.